Hey, Rock Movers, thank you so much for joining us for season 3 of the Rock Movers. Today, I have a special treat for you, someone that I absolutely enjoyed interviewing, and you're going to meet him now, the go-giver himself, Mr. Bob Berg. You know, it's generally agreed upon that entrepreneurship is the engine that drives an economy upwards, and it's primarily responsible for its growth. Today, Bob and I dive into some conversations about our mutual respect for Zig Ziglar and the impact that he's had on entrepreneurship, including a special surprise from Bob. He's also going to drop some amazing golden nuggets about his Go-Giver book, including the power of having and becoming a mentor, the Go-Giver way. And finally, how you can stand out from the crowd and lead with value and giving. Without further delay, my friend, the Go-Giver, Bob Berg. Bob, thank you. I can't actually thank you enough for being on here today. I have watched some of your other podcast interviews, and everyone says the same thing. You've made such a difference in their life. You've been an influencer. But truly, you have just modeled such a Zig Ziglar-esque life.
Wow. Well, that's a compliment I will receive with immense gratitude, Karen.
Well, it's especially important for me because the Ziglar family are friends of ours. And Julie, Zig's daughter Julie, is my personal mentor and one of my best friends. And so you just really embody everything that Zig stood for, and you're continuing that legacy. So thank you for that. Thank you for being that person out there in the world, continuing to carry on that. And with that said, I want to jump right into this little gem, because this is how I got to know you, was to hear your voice in this book. And you and John did such a great job. But I think I may have took some different things away from this book, because my husband and I both read it and we both listened to it and we both got different things from it. And so I'd really love to dive into the mentorship side of your story, because that's one of the things that I took away from it, is the power of mentorship. So can you tell me a little bit about how that influenced your life mentoring, how you're using it now today to help others move the rocks in their life?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think mentorship is so important, because when you find the right mentor or mentors, it can really cut your learning curve by years. We talk about, you know, learning from our own mistakes. Well, what about learning from other people's mistakes, but also other people's experience? You know, we talk about OPM, other people's money. What about OPE, other people's experience? OPW, other people's wisdom, right?
I love that.
And, Zig was someone who I learned a whole lot from. And, you were talking about his kids, and I love his family, and I love how the kids have carried on, so respectfully carried on their dad's legacy. Yes. And, you know, you think about just the wisdom there, that we can all gain just through the Ziglar family and so forth. And how Zig always talked about in his books and in his back then tapes, right? When I was first learning about Zig and everything, there was tapes, cassette tape.
Same. I got Julie gave me a bunch of cassettes and yes.
And note how Zig always talked about his sales mentors. Mm-hmm. Right. And they had mentors. So, you know, when we can all, learn from others and then pass along that wisdom, we're just adding to a much bigger pie.
So what is the thing that holds people back in your mind from seeking out that mentorship, from asking for help? Because that's one of the things that I took away from this book, was it's not just about being a mentor, but getting the mentorship and asking for help. What holds us back from that?
Well, there can be several things. One of them is that a person doesn't know that it's even out there for them.
Mm, right?
And, you know, it's something they were not brought up with. It's something they were not exposed to, that there are people out there who will actually help you, who will share their time, their wisdom, their knowledge, their connections sometimes, their content, and so forth. It might be that they kind of know it's out there, but they don't have the confidence to ask. They may not have the knowledge to go about asking correctly and properly. They may also feel that, well, I don't have any value to give to them. How can I possibly, you know, ask them for help? So I think there's all these different reasons, and we might not know what's in that particular person's mind, but you know, the best we can do to help people see that you don't need to let any of that hold you back. You know, I think that's a good deed we can do for the young up and comers. And I know you're doing that, of course, in your life.
I'm certainly trying. So what should an up and comer do? What should someone, and in the Dallas area, we have this group we call the Young Executives with our Success North Dallas organization. And we really want to, we have mentors and mentees in that group. We're really wanting to instill this go-giver mentality into them. This is really a core facet of what Casey is trying to do with this group. And I have the honor of being on the team that's leading the Success North Dallas, but also a mentor for these young executives. So what should they do when they're trying to find other mentors? So this organization assigned it, but to go find one on your own, what do they do? How does that happen?
I think the way that you go about finding a mentor is very important, because the way you go about it can be the difference between someone wanting to mentor you and help you and not. Okay. So, so I often say to people, one of the biggest mistakes that I'll see people make when seeking out a mentor is to approach someone where there's really no relationship there and just say, hey, will you be my mentor? It's sort of like going up to someone who you don't know and saying, hey, will you share 30 or 40 years of your life's experience with me, even though you don't know me from a hole in the wall, right?
Yeah.
And it can come across as, you know, as though you just, what's the word I'm looking for when it's, you're entitled.
Expectant.
Right. Expectant, entitled to it. Yes, that it's entitled. Just, you know, and it can come off as less than a way. Now, you gotta also figure that if you're asking this person, there's probably a lot of other people who are asking this person, and they only have so much time. You know, so someone who's willing to mentor others, they'll do that. They feel great about it, but they can't necessarily do that with everyone. Time just doesn't permit that. So you've got to do something. You've got to present yourself in such a way that you do distinguish yourself from all the people kind of asking the same thing. So now I will say this, you can approach practically anyone, whether you have a relationship with them or not. Okay. But the way you do it is so important. So you might say to this person, yeah, I know you are very busy, and if this is something we either don't have the time to do, or for whatever reason, you would just rather not, I absolutely understand. I'm wondering if I might ask you one or two very specific questions. Now, when doing that, there's a few things that I think you've accomplished. One is you've come across in a more humble way, that saying, hey, I know this is a big ask. This is not something I take for granted. It's not something I feel I'm entitled to. Okay. The second thing you're doing is you're giving that person an out or back door. You're saying, you know, if you're just too busy, or just for whatever reason, something you'd rather not do, I'll absolutely understand. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and to the degree you give a person an out or a back door, that's the degree they'll usually feel very comfortable with you.
Exactly.
Because they know you respect their time and their energy and their wisdom, and that you're not going to, right? And then the third thing, and this is, I think, so important. You didn't just say, will you be my lifetime ongoing mentor? Okay. You know, that's like, and we've all heard the expression before, asking someone for the marriage instead of for a date, right? When you first meet. Well, a mentor-protege relationship is just that. It's a relationship. And it does take time to develop and cultivate and build.
So
when you say instead, may I ask you one or two very specific questions. Now what it's saying to this person, what it's communicating is, hey, this person, they know what it is they need. Mm-hmm. They know what it is they want. They're not looking to just, you know, pick my brain and take a lot of my time and so forth. Right. They have an agenda. And when I say agenda in this case, I mean that in a positive way, not they have an agenda, but they have an agenda. They know what they want to ask. So they feel very unthreatened by that. They know. Yeah. So they usually say, not always, but usually they'll say, oh, sure. You know, go right ahead. How can I help you? Now, you want to make sure that you have researched this person so thoroughly that anything that the questions you do ask are not something you could have discovered online in an article about them or in some, right? Yeah. Right. So you asked a couple of questions, you appreciate them for it, and you let them know how invaluable this is. You look forward to applying this wisdom right away. If you wouldn't mind, I'll check up with you, or I'll circle back from time to time, mm-hmm. and just let you keep you apprised of how. And they're going to say, of course, sure, please do that, whatever. Now, what I would do is that very day, I would send a handwritten note to them. Okay, not an email, not a text, a handwritten note that just says something like, in a very short and sweet, dear Mr. Jones or dear Ms. Johnson, thank you so much for taking time out of your day. Your wisdom was absolutely invaluable. I look forward to applying it, and we'll keep in touch and let you know how things are coming along. Best regards, mm-hmm. so forth. Now, put it in an envelope, a regular stamp, not a meter machine stamp, a regular stamp, send it out that day. They will get it the next day, and boom, that's a great impression. What I would also suggest doing is making a small donation. It doesn't have to be anything big, but a small donation to their favorite charitable cause, which again, you can find out online, a little bit of research, or if it's not there, you call their administrative assistant and you ask them. And let's say you find out that the person's on the board of directors of their local animal shelter. Okay, so you do a small donation in their name. It's going to get back to them. You're not doing it to kiss up or anything, but just so that they know you respect the process, and that even though you can't bring the kind of value to them that they can bring to you right now, that's your goal. You want to make yourself valuable. Now, a few weeks later, you might either call or email or however it is that they like to be in touch and let them know how things, and then you might, say, I have a question for you, if I may, would that be all right? And they'll probably say, sure, what can I do? What have you? And in time, if it's supposed to, a mentor protege relationship will develop. And if not, that's okay. What we want to do is take the correct action without being attached to the results. Okay. It might be that this person's going to be a one or two conversation mentor, and it's going to be someone else and someone else and someone else. That's how it was with me. There were different people who I asked about different things, and some I, would go back to because that was the kind of relationship we developed. Others, it was a one and done and type of thing. And always, but I think when we do that, now our chances of finding that mentor are much greater.
I love that. And you brought up, oh my gosh, so many great points that I'm just trying to feverishly write this. The handwritten note, we have become a society that's so digital, we've really forgotten that handwritten touch is so, so important, so valuable. Thank you for reminding me of that today.
It's so funny, Karen, that even 30 years ago, before email was really a thing like it is now, and people did send handwritten, it was still a big thing to receive a handwritten note, because we were all taught by our moms to do that. And yet how many people really did on a consistent basis? Not many. And the people who did were remembered. Now, how much more so when email, texting and everything is so now that person who sends the handwritten notes just positions themselves powerfully.
So good, Bob. And you mentioned giving value, and that's one of the other takeaways that I really got from the book is when you look at the cover, the Go Giver, a little story about a powerful business idea, we often think giving is something materialistic with tons of physical value, but it's really about the value that we add to other people's lives. And that just speaks so much about the philosophy that's so congruent with human nature in general. Sure. And this is one of the talking points I wanted to ask you, because I study humans and human behavior, and I am just so fascinated by how and why people do the things that they do. So can you help me articulate this value add? Because so many say, you know, you've got to add value. You've got to add value. How do we do that? And what does that mean today in a society like we're living in?
So let's first look at really what value is, what it means. Mm. One of those words now that has become so used that, you know, 20 people might have 20 definitions, and every one of those definitions are unconscious. So if someone just say value without, so here's how value can really be defined. It's the relative worth or desirability of a thing, of something, to the end user or beholder. In other words, what is it about this thing, this product, service, concept, philosophy, idea, information, connections, you know, whatever it might be, right? That holds so much worth or value to someone that they're going to see it as something they really appreciate.
Yes.
So value can be given in many, many ways. It can be given through time, attention, counsel, education, empathy, appreciation. So what we want to do is focus on that other person and discover, you know, their needs, their wants, their desires. So when we talk about human nature, I think Dale Carnegie said it best in his classic, How to Win Friends and Influence People. In fact, I think this one line was the underlying premise of his entire book. And that's where he wrote, ultimately, people do things for their reasons, not our reasons. You know, I often, Karen, when I speak at a sales conference, the first thing I'll say is, nobody's going to buy from you because you have a quota to meet.
I've heard you say that before, and it's so true. People don't care what That's our goals and quotas are. No,
human nature is they're going to buy from you because they believe that they'll be better off by doing so than by not doing so.
Yeah.
Until we understand that aspect of human nature, we're never really in a position to be able to serve and to benefit as well, to give and receive. So when we understand that, then we know it's that sales professional, it's that entrepreneur. You know, what is it that Zig said so famously? You can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what they want.
You even got the accent down. Well done.
So, I listened to his tapes. I don't know how many
thousands
times.
Of times. I love it.
And so, you know, and Zig was totally right. What was he really saying? That the focus has to be on them.
Right. Yeah. My personal mentor, Sally Anderson, has just driven it into my head that no matter how much I want to do things, I have to lead first with it's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that you said that we can give and receive in the same. They don't have to be separate. They're not linear. They can be in the same.
Well, they're really two sides of the same coin.
Yes. That's such a great way to say it.
Don't think of. And, you know, John David Mann and I in the story wanted to make the point, and John, he was really the lead writer and storyteller. I mean, I'm a how-to guy. I'm step one, step two, step three. John's a magnificent storyteller. And he, you know, wrote that part about breathing out and breathing in.
Yeah.
Right. It's gotta be both. You can't do one and sustain yourself. Never mind thrive. Right. You have to thrive. You've got to both breathe. So it's not, are you a giver or a receiver? No, you're both. You're a giver and a receiver. This is also why we say that money is simply an echo of value, right? Yes. It's the thunder to value's lightning. It's the value must be the focus. The giving must be the focus. The money you receive is simply the natural result of the value you've provided. Breathe out, breathe in, give, receive.
So as we get back to that topic of human nature, and you've written several other books. So for those that don't know, Endless Referrals, Adversaries into Allies, and then the Go Giver series. We also just listened to the one on marriage, which was, I love the way that y'all, and as you said, John's influence in the storytelling, but just these characters that you fall in love with. And, you know, I love that they keep weaving them, or y'all keep weaving them back into the stories. And
The Go Giver marriage was John's and Anna's, so I wasn't part of that. But they did a wonderful job, and I just I thought they were magnificent. What I really enjoyed was, you know, it was a parable, but it was also a lot of how to, because Anna, that was her topic. You know, that was her, and so I thought they just then and within the parable there was also another parable. So you know,
they brought Pinder back. Yeah. So that was wonderful that they brought him back in the end in a funny twist of unexpected way. So if you haven't read it yet, I just spoiled it. Sorry. But the Go Giver series, just, I love that the human nature and the design of the stories just tap into our heart. And that's truly how I believe as mentors, as mentees, as coaches, as speakers, that's the key to everything, is really getting to the heart. And you do it so well with your storytelling, and you make it so relative. How can we transition that into, because it's not about the money, but the money's important, as Zig says, you know, it's try to live without it. Mm-hmm. So it is important.
It may not be everything, but it ranks right up there with oxygen.
Okay, you've got it nailed, Bob. You've got it nailed. I love it. I'm gonna have to spend a whole day listening to you doing Zig quotes. It's gonna make my day. We're gonna have to do a whole recording.
One of my favorite moments in life was when I used to have these conferences that we put, this had to be 10 years ago. Well, it was a lot longer than that. It was probably about 13, 14 years ago. And we had Zig there to receive the first annual Go Giver Lifetime Achievement Award. And he was up on stage with Tom and with Mrs. Ziegler, the redhead. In fact, she told me afterwards that was the only time she'd ever been up on stage with Zig. But so I got to actually do that, a riff from Zig's tapes right in front of Zig. And it was just, you know, it was such a thrill for me to be able to do that in front of one of my heroes, you know, in his family.
I love that. So how did he react?
As you know, at that time he had his brain injury. And so you could tell he appreciated it, and he knew that's what I was doing. It was just, it just touched my heart.
Oh, I love that. And I love that we have that connection with the Zieglers, because they are some of the best people in the world. You know, they're just so good.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I apologize. After we were on stage, cause Zig was, you know, answering questions from people, and he just, you know, did his usual marvelous job. Zig and Mrs. Ziegler and Tom met people, signed autographs, hugged, had pictures taken with people, and they must have stayed there for an hour doing that until everybody was. And you know, I received emails for weeks afterwards saying that the most amazing part was just how the Zieglers were exactly who they are off stage, is who Zig has always been on stage. It's just, that says it all.
I think that has been probably one of the largest and most impactful lessons I've taken away from Julie, his daughter, is everything she does it with that same integrity, always thinking of others, but always leading with just this philosophy of how would I want to be treated? Exactly. How, not just do unto others as you would want them to do, but how would I want to be treated? And leading with that to excel to the next level. And she's just been such an influence on me. And that's because the influence her dad was on her, and they're just real. They're just real people. And that's how I see you and this, these books. They're just so real, so practical, and call us to rise to a new standard, raise the bar. You raised the bar, Bob, to the Ziegler level.
Well,
but now it's the go-giver Ziegler level.
I will receive, again, I'll just receive the thought of that with immense, immense gratitude. Well,
it's, for me, it means so much. So I appreciate all that you've done and all that you do and continue to do with your go-giver community. So I'd love for you to share that with my Rock Mover community, how they could get involved with the Go Giver, the other things that you have going on now, because you've actually taken it to new level and you're doing new things. So tell us about that.
Well, my business partner, Kathy Tajanel, she and I developed the Go Giver community sometime last year. And really, it's just a group of people who all want to live life, conduct business the Go Giver way. There's a lot of relationship building and collaboration and content and connection. It's a lot of fun. And people can learn more about that at the Go Giver community, without the hyphen, thegogivercommunity.com. They can always go to burg.com. That's probably the easiest place to find everything there. Okay. And I have a daily impact email that I send, which they can subscribe to there if they'd like. So yeah, we love to have people just kind of join us and have fun and grow together.
Well, I love it. And congratulations on your first graduating class. So I saw that.
Which was that?
I just saw some pictures recently that you had some graduating. You
know we also have a certified Go Giver speaker program.
Yes, that's
so
what it was.
The latest class that had come to the certification. We have a 3-day certification about twice a year. And so we just had a wonderful group there of people who are representing the Go Giver message all over. And
you're just doing so many things and just giving and giving and pouring into so many people, Bob. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you, Karen.
So what is one way that you feel like, as we begin to wrap this up, that others can use this go-giver philosophy mentality to help pour into the next phase so that we're always leading with that giving?
Yeah, you know, I think like anything else, it's just taking the principles and applying them as part of your life. That's why John and I had, you know, Pindar give Joe, the protege, just one condition. And that is you had to apply the information.
Right.
Because we all know, and how many times did Zig say that, with, you know, knowledge without action is the same as not having any knowledge. You know, it's important to apply it, but not think that you have to apply it perfectly.
That's key.
You know, to apply it, and you start to get comfortable with it, and you start to see the results, and it becomes a lot of fun, and you know that you're adding value to people's lives in a way that's fulfilling for them and for you, and everybody grows together. So I think that's really the way to go about that.
I love it. Well, I will put all of the links so that they can follow and connect. And yes, the daily emails are so encouraging.
Oh, thank you.
I love getting little parts of you. I put a post today on my Facebook group of, you know, having the opportunity to interview you, but to meet you face to face, because without you ever knowing it, I know that you've influenced so many people, myself included, but just by you being you and showing up and being available. And I think that's probably one of the biggest lessons of the Go Givers. You just have to show up and take action and be available. And I appreciate you for the example that you have given me and for all that you do for so many, because I continue to refer this book out to my clients. I work with a group of realtors in the Northeast, and their whole realty company lives by the Go Giver philosophy.
Oh, wow.
So I wanted to do a shout out to Conway Realty up in Massachusetts, because they are go givers. And so is Watson in Florida. So there's just so many organizations that, you know, even if they aren't plugged into some of the community things, they are living this philosophy and using it to make a difference in the world. And well, that's because you were willing to show up.
Well, but it's teachers like you, it's people like you who are out there as ambassadors and embodiments of the message. And that's what makes it happen. So
it's an honor. It's an honor. So thank you so much for giving me 30 minutes of your day. I appreciate you and can't wait to share all of this with my rock moving community. And just want to say thank you so much, Bob.
My pleasure. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you so much for listening today to this episode of The Rock Movers. It was such a great interview. Bob is amazing. And I know if you're like me, you took a ton of notes and came away from this with some amazing insight on how you can apply the go-giver mentality to be a mentor, to find a mentor, and to stand out from the crowd and lead the go-giver way. If you'd like to connect with Bob, you'll find some information in the show notes, but you can also find him at berg.com or thegogiver.com. Thanks again for joining, and I'll see you on the next episode. Keep on rockin'.